The Business of People with Lizelle Van Rijn. The Business of People, thanks for tuning in, logging in, joining, downloading, whatever. I'm sitting here with Ollie.
What's up?
Oliver Boyers, also of the Ollie and the Captain fame. Can't be remiss if I didn't mention that.
Yeah, Candy would have your neck for that.
I know. How is Candy?
She's good. She's still kicking my ass at Muay Thai. she drags...
I didn't know you guys were doing Muay Thai.
Yeah, we do it at Pride Fighting Academy. So she drags me along and she takes so much pleasure in kicking the crap out of me up and down this place. Come to Muay Thai, it'll be fun. All right. Yes. Proceeds to clap me for an hour.
I know it's a really good friend of my brother's, actually, Marlon Rosen, that does a lot of Muay Thai. And he was trained by the Chong brothers.
Oh, okay.
So I don't know if this is the same dojo.
I don't recognize any of those names. Okay. It's Mike and Jess. I can't remember their surnames that run the show, but it's an epic place.
It's quite a workout.
It's, oh, yeah.
Yeah.
It's killer.
My brother was actually a professional fighter for a while.
Oh, Hector.
I know, right? And then, and then he hit sort of his mid, late 20s and kind of his body was just taking too much strain. And then he went into, what do you call it? It's not an umpire in Muay Thai. It's a ref.
A ref, yeah. Yeah, a lot of guys say, especially if you fight competitively, too many knocks to the head, that whole concussion thing.
Yeah, that's not good.
You only have a few of those in you until...
You got one brain, dude.
Yeah.
Like, what the fuck? You
know, yeah. So yeah. Candy always says to me, oh, should we, you know, maybe go into a competition, train for an opponent? And I'm always like, nah, I like to keep my brain cells. Like, it's fun as an exercise and whatnot. But when it comes to actually fighting in the ring, maybe I'm a sissy in that respect. But I don't know. I'd like to avoid the damage.
Yes.
Yeah.
No, I'm with you on that. I'm same page.
Yeah.
Minimal impact is good. Maximum reward.
Yeah, yeah.
So how you been, man?
Solid. As we were talking about, it's been a bit of a roller coaster emotionally with the lockdown. Very new territory in many respects, but keeping afloat, you know, trying to keep the businesses alive, keep staff employed.
No, the plural, businesses.
Yeah.
Businesses. We'll talk about some of those in a minute, but what I want to, Ollie is now, I think you're a pretty seasoned digital nomad now. I think we can call you. You're not a newbie anymore. You're not a beginner anymore. You're kind of like intermediary.
I've been around the block once or twice, yeah.
So we went into lockdown here 27th March.
Indeed.
That week, where were you?
I was in Chile. I just got to Chile from Argentina. I'd been there about a week and a half.
Okay.
And so we were thinking, we had been hearing all these murmurs of coronavirus.
Yeah, you and I were chatting, right?
Yeah. And we were like, should we, shouldn't we? Oh, if it locks down, we'll just see out the lockdown. What's a couple of weeks locking down?
Yeah.
So we even made the decision to venture further out of Santiago.
Wow.
To a place called Valparaíso, which is coastal. It's not too far. It's maybe like an hour car ride away. And we got out there and... That's when things started getting really real for us. It's at the point where everything's in Spanish over there. My Spanish is not great. So it's hard to keep your finger on the pulse of everything.
Yeah.
And when the streets start emptying out and there's no one around anymore and people are acting a bit more fervently within shopping centers, you start to think to yourself like, oh crap,
yeah.
I might be out of my depth here.
Yeah.
And that's where we were. So
we got
advice from many people being like, this is happening. You need to get home. And we were thinking about staying. We were like, okay, we just booked into a month-long Airbnb thing. So we'd paid for it. And we were like, a bit heart sore to just forfeit a month's worth of accommodation. So we were like, maybe we should stick around. But in hindsight, thank goodness we didn't.
Well, exactly, man, because everybody thought 21 days, we got this.
Yeah, we're 100 and...
Fucking, I've lost count,
140 or something, yeah.
I can't.
It's crazy. So... We literally, there were two flights leaving Santiago and like we had to book like emergency flights, like between booking and boarding, it was like 2 days, and there was one on LATAM and one with Emirates, and the Emirates one was a bit more expensive and both of them were very expensive.
Had the prices already spiked at that point?
Oh yeah. So the one way return flight was triple the price of our two way flight going there. Yeah.
So in Rand? What are we talking?
18,000 rand a person.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. It was savage.
I know.
So, I mean, that was another thing. And additionally to that, I've been doing this whole 6 months tax year thing.
Okay.
So if you're out of the country for 6 months,
right,
a year, so it's 183 days
yeah.
in a 12-month rolling cycle, then you don't have to pay tax on the time that you're out of the country doing
money,
work offshore. So my last day to make that tax year was the day that we flew back.
Oh.
So I was like pushing for that. And my family were like, you have to get back the first thing you can and the flight. So we literally got back and just in the nick of time, we got to Dubai. It was, and we had a bit of a panic there because everyone was locked down on the airport and our flight was delayed by 8 hours in Dubai. And we were like, okay, what's happening? And the guys in Dubai were like, no, things are closing down. Like, but they said to reassure us, but they're like, we don't want you foreigners here.
What date? what date was this?
I don't know if I can remember. It's probably late March.
Okay, yeah, because look, we went down on the Friday into lockdown full on the 20, which was the 27th.
Yeah.
So
we got back the day that lockdown in South Africa was announced, and then it started 2 days later here.
Okay, cool.
Yeah.
Okay.
So.
Whew.
Yeah. So we
cutting
made
it fine.
Yeah. So that delays in Dubai were quite hectic, but we managed to get on the plane eventually. Once we were off the ground, we were like, okay, we're going home.
You had a very similar experience to Stephen. So Stephen went off. I think he was also in somewhere in South America. In fact, he hooked up with TK somewhere in South America. She's still in Colombia.
Oh, yeah.
And he was planning on, you know, because the alternative, he's a proper nomad in that, not that I'm saying that you guys are not. But
no offense taken.
But he's a proper nomad in that he has no physical address.
Yeah.
Right? And so where is home exactly?
Yeah.
Home turned out to be mom and dad, I think, in Manchester, which even on a summer's day, it's fucking grim. It's just grim.
What, the mom and dad bit or the Manchester bit?
I think the Manchester bit. But yeah. So... no offense, any Mancurians listening in. So he was saying that he was holding on, and it was the same kind of thing that you were just describing, like the streets were getting emptier and emptier, restaurants were getting, you know.
Yeah.
And it was just like, oh shit. And they were literally, as they were trying to get out, him and Krista, they were, you know, borders were just closing.
Everywhere. Boom, 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 boom. Yeah. And it stops becoming a holiday. It stops being this exciting new place that you're exploring. It starts becoming like a zombie apocalypse wasteland that you got to navigate in very foreign language.
Well, you and I were chatting about hospitals and stuff, and then we were kind of like, what's the healthcare infrastructure like there, you know? And then is it really like, you know?
Yeah, like what does your medical aid cover?
Fuck.
International stuff. So yeah, it was pretty hectic, but glad to be home. And additionally to that, I mean, we Airbnb our place while we're away to kind of make up... to have the luxury of having the same place when we come home, that's the cost. We have to Airbnb it or kind of make up the money while we're away. So if we had been locked down over there, that would have been 4 months of an empty Airbnb here and paying for rent over there. So
that's crazy.
Business is suffering.
So the people that were in your apartment while you were away, they left?
Yeah. So people started pulling out of South Africa because my brother and I run like 4 Airbnbs between us. And we started noticing our guests pulling out the cancellations, and Airbnb had given this like really nice cancellation clause to guests. So they could cancel no problem, no fee. They got refunded in full, but all the hosts, we took the hit for all those cancellations.
Sure.
So we started seeing a lot of our guys bailing. And so we were like, oh, we need to start making plans.
Yeah.
Sorry, what was the point of that?
Airbnb and people and apartments and stuff. Yeah, no, that's cool. I think, you know, I was talking to Denise the other day and, you know, Airbnb is dead, basically.
Yeah. Well, we've been empty for 4 months and we've recently just adjusted all our prices like a lot lower, and the local market's coming alive a bit.
Yeah.
So we've got a few bookings, but at cheap prices, literally we're just trying to make it, put a dent in that bond.
Yeah.
And just
anything
stem the
at this
bleeding.
Point helps a little, right?
Yeah, because I mean, we're still keeping all our staff and we're still paying them even though they aren't working the hours because, you know, people have got to make a living.
Yeah.
So we're doing our best to keep everybody and not let people go. And
It's crazy, man. Yeah. It's really crazy, the ripple effect. And when you, like, everybody's, well, it seems to be that the big focus is restaurants or alcohol but yeah. every aspect of the tourism. I mean, my next door neighbor is a tour guide.
Yeah.
Who pre-lockdown was, you know, taking foreigners around wine farms and, you know,
yeah.
And he's just been sat for the last 4 months.
Game over.
Yeah.
I've seen a lot of guys on Airbnb experiences going to the online vibe.
Yeah.
So, and which is quite a cool thing is that that's broadened their horizons in a way. So it's no longer cool. Like take you on a hike on this cliff. It's like Mexican taco making lesson. She's like, I saw a lady saying like, I take up to 2,500 people a session. I was like,
wow,
what? So it gives you scalability. Yeah. I was like, how good are these tacos? God,
that's true. You know? So the other day I was chatting to someone, George Gabriel, who runs a venue on Long Street called 44 on Long. And she's this grand old lady on Long Street that actually houses a 172 seat theater, like Labia, but on steroids.
Yeah, sick.
Nice. Very, very nice. And he took occupation of it. I don't want to lie. I think it's November, December. All these. Yeah, exactly.
Sorry, right? Buddy.
No, exactly, exactly. Ouch. So collaborative artist performance kind of space. And of course, lockdown, screw all of that. But they've adapted. So they've adopted this online model. And they actually collaborated with the Grahamstown Arts Festival.
Yeah.
And two of the players that. So they in effect, became a satellite venue for the Grahamstown Arts Festival. And all the performances were streamed, and of course to a worldwide audience now for a change. And two of their productions actually won awards as a result. So it's kind of like, it's exactly that. It's kind of like saying, well, actually, we can reach a far bigger audience than we were able to sell 172 tickets in the past.
Yeah.
Now all of a sudden you've got 500, 600, 1,000 people, you know, logging in per performance.
I like that. I like the potential that it offers. But from my own behavior in terms of like interacting with events and like performance arts and things like that, I don't know. Because they haven't been at the forefront of what people around me are doing, and it's like regular that people are going to these things, they've kind of fallen off my radar a bit. I mean, I love like live concerts and performing arts and going to the theater and stuff like that, but it just hasn't been on my radar for the last.
Yeah, but it's also a completely different experience. So actually, we spoke about this too during lockdown. There's a screen fatigue that sets in, right? I actually can't handle a lot more screen time than I already am ingesting because of the uptake of or the increase of Zoom meetings. And let's have another fucking Zoom meeting. And I tell you what, let's have a coffee on Zoom tomorrow. You know, and I'm like, oh my God, by 6 o'clock I'm exhausted. My eyes are like bloodshot, and you know.
We all work remotely with our company, and it's like we have morning meetings and then basically what, two or three meetings throughout the day. And then like at the last thing on a Friday, we have Zoom downers, which is like sundowners. And so like I eventually started doing it. I was like, yeah, okay, this sounds great. But at the end of it, I'm like, oh my God, get me off the Zoom call.
I can't actually do any more screen time.
Yeah.
But the audio thing is different, I find. So I have no problem. It's like Spotify or whatever. You know, I have no problem tuning into something that I can audibly, and then I can still move around and kind of do other things. Like I've got a garden at home. I'm very lucky. So I can still move around the garden and do whatever I want to do and not be fixed and tied to a screen.
Yeah, it's a lot of screen time.
Speaking of screens, you've built something quite amazing, I hear.
Yeah, man.
Tell me.
It's called Nomad Travel Tools, and it's basically a tool for digital nomads and remote workers, people that are traveling around the world working from foreign places, and it's a tool to help them to understand new places better by comparing them to the place that they come from.
Nice.
So in our case, I'm from, my home base is Cape Town, and I want to, let's say, go work in Bali. So I'll put in my favorite city in Bali, Canggu, and I can compare both Cape Town and Canggu. So I set
compare
up.
What? Compare what?
Yeah. So the metrics that we've got running at the moment are, so basically it's a cost of living comparison.
Yep.
So on a whole bunch of different things, month of rent, internet expense, food, meal at a restaurant, those kind of things. We also have a tool to compare overlapping work hours.
Okay.
So it compares the two time zones, and it puts normalized work hours side by side.
Very nice.
And then you can see kind of where the green zone is, where the two best working hour overlaps would be. So that's always been a thing that we've looked for. Additionally to that,
time zones is a thing, man.
It is, and it can wreck you. Like when we were in Brazil, I made the grave mistake of not figuring out daylight saving time. And so I was going to be working from 5 a.m. through to whatever time in the morning. But because of daylight saving time came to get me, I was up at 4 in the morning. And like an hour doesn't sound like a lot, but 4 in the morning compared to 5 in the morning.
No, fuck, that's early, man.
Goddamn big difference.
Yeah, no, that's early, man.
So, yeah, so all these tools that I'm like working towards creating have come from my own experience. And like I always have to answer like 5 big questions before I go anywhere. What's the time zones doing? Can I afford it? Where do I need to stay? What are the currencies doing? And these kind of things.
So what's the internet like?
Yeah, so we've got internet comparative tools there too. So the point of this is, so I have all that data present, but also I want to make it completely user generated. So I have the option for guys to contribute adjustments to the site at any point. So for cost of living data, people can, if you see like a metric you think is out or it needs adjusting, you can submit your own values. Say, okay, Coke costs $10 here instead of $15. And then we use all that data and we aggregate it in a weighted way to make it more accurate every day. So it's completely evolving data set that we're trying to get more and more accurate every day.
That's very, very smart, man. Congratulations.
Yeah. So it's at nomadtraveltools.com. And
punt.
Yeah.
Download.
Go check it out.
I'll throw some links in the description. So yeah, you can download and check it out and tell all your friends.
Yeah. So we launched on Reddit and Product Hunt and Hacker Noon the other day. And I suppose the best place we did was Reddit. We got such a great response on the Digital Nomad subreddit. Pardon?
Downloads? How many?
Not downloads. It's a web app.
Okay. I thought it was an Android or an iPhone app.
No,
okay.
So it's not an iStore. It's online, but it is a progressive web app. So this is quite a new cool technology. It's like the future of apps in a way. Well, I'll explain that in a sec.
Go on.
And we got thousands and thousands of sessions from that little launch.
That's
it's kind of died off quite a lot now, and I'm back in the workshop, kind of making things better and adding new tools and trying to work on my SEO because it's. We've got about 9,000 plus cities, and the combination between each two cities is in essence a page. So in order to SEO every single page, there's over 88 million combinations that I need to put up together. So I got to create like a dynamic SEO model with a thing called server-side rendering, but that's in the weeds. So we've hit a bit of a roadblock with that, but I'm working on getting it up.
That's amazing, man. Well done.
Yeah. Thanks, man. I'm quite proud of it and I'm hoping to take it somewhere.
So is that the highlight of lockdown for you?
Yeah, that's definitely been a big one. But now you're challenging me to think about
what's
all the
highlight?
Good things
go
that have happened.
Go on.
Man, the surf's been pretty good.
Yeah?
I'll tell you one thing. Not being able to surf.
Fuck.
And then... like and then getting it back.
Yeah.
Oh my goodness.
So that was level 4 to 3, right?
Yeah.
Or 5 to 4.
We couldn't serve 5 and 4.
5 and 4, that's right. Yeah.
And then 3 we could.
I think there were a few oaks out at Musenberg that kind of pushed and got arrested.
We were there in the day the oaks were getting arrested.
Oh really?
And so we arrived, we were like, we're gonna beat the sunrise, we're gonna go in dark and the cops won't even know.
No.
And if we come out and they're there, then we'll just try to leg it or go back in the ocean. We had a big breakfast before, so we're like, we can be out here for 4 hours, no problem.
Sorted.
But when we got to the beach, those blue lights were on and the cops were there and stopping us. So we were like, damn it. So I drove away because that was the main spot at Musenberg. So I left that spot and went to a more corky spot. So you could a little bit more camouflage
just around
in
the corner,
there.
Yeah. Just around the corner. Yeah.
And we went out there and that was fine. But oaks were getting pulled out. But even the cops were like, the orders are vague.
The orders were very vague. And also like you can, you know, because then they were like, I think it was the health minister and then also the sports minister or something. He was like, yeah, no, surfing's cool. But then the camp, no, but you can't go to the beach. Yeah, but okay, to get into the water, I need to crow.
Yeah. You can surf, but you can't be on the beach. So what, rock launches are cool. Like helicopter launches are cool. Yeah.
It's pretty much like you can smoke weed, but I can't sell it.
Yeah.
Okay, cool.
Yeah.
Like nice.
Chicken and egg.
Did you see that shit this week, man? So legally in this country, you can now...
The personal thing.
please don't tell them that the quantities are wrong, because I actually think this is the most amazing faux pas. So per household, two adults, 1.2 kilos of dried marijuana is now legally allowed.
Holy crap.
1.2 kilos.
How long will that last you? It'll last you like a week.
Not quite, but thanks. Yeah, that's a lot. And legally, yeah. I can now give you, if I chose to, 100 grams at a time and or 30 seeds.
That's pretty big volume.
That's pretty big, Barry. But I, you know, for me, I just want to be a fly on the wall in that meeting. Like, how the fuck did they even decide or get to, like...
That number.
That's a big number.
Yeah, that's a huge number.
So surfing, so that's the big highlight, huh?
Well, yeah, being able to get back in the water. And thankfully, it's winter, so there's some decent waves.
Yeah.
And there's a big storm rolling in right now, actually.
Oh, really?
So tonight, tomorrow morning, and the next few days, it's going to be crazy. I'm so excited.
What's the worst thing of lockdown?
Worst thing of lockdown?
Yeah.
Oh, there's so many bad things.
Yeah, that's true. But just personal, like number one for you, not, yeah.
I just think lack of freedom.
Yeah.
Like lack of freedom of movement. Traveling, even just interprovincially, seeing friends, seeing family.
Yeah.
Also, even like, not, you can eat at a restaurant now, but you're not meant to be able to see family. So there's like this weird dichotomy between like, okay, I can go out and have dinner with
family at the but I can also meet my family at that restaurant and have dinner with them, but I can't go to their house.
Yeah. So it's also like when, like, I don't know, social situations are like quite strained at the moment. It's like I'm relearning how to interact with people.
You find that as well?
Yeah.
And then there's the elephant in the room, which...
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Love this track.
It's kind of like... This is my soundtrack for lockdown for sure. Yeah. And I'm still not over it, man. It's like, when are we ever going to be able to buy tobacco legally again?
Or cigarettes. But also, when people zol, they put saliva with the paper. And then they share that zol.
Because, this is still going on. But apparently there's some, the British American Tobacco guys had a big fucking lawsuit thing on Thursday, maybe Friday last week.
I can imagine.
Yeah, and there's supposed to be some movements around it.
It's. I don't understand. I can understand the drinking thing, and because when alcohol was unbanned, the hospital just filled up with weekend revelry patients, basically.
So that
makes 100% sense. But then the smoking thing. I mean, how many admissions to hospital do you have for smoking related things?
No idea. And also, like you say, I mean, I know a guy that literally it was the. The day that they were, I think it was a Monday that we were able to buy booze, right? So he'd been queuing since, I don't know, the night before. And 12 midday that day, all right, somewhere near Fishhook, he'd written his cough, smashed out of it, you know. So it's kind of like, so yeah, I get it. For me, if it were me, my suggestion would have been get rid of spirits. Don't let people... consume and drink spirits right now, but let them have a glass of wine and let them have some beer.
Yeah.
At the very least.
Yeah, I suppose. We'll I think oaks will still get shit-faced on beer and wine.
Pineapple beer. Have you brewed?
No, I haven't, but people were desperate. People at my office were like, pineapple beer, let's brew it.
I know people that have been rushed to hospital for like alcohol poisoning from pineapple beer brewing.
Really?
Yeah, getting the yeast mix wrong and putting way too much, and then you know like a half a glass, and then you know stomach swell. You know it's not happy.
Yeah, there's no proof on that stuff. You don't know what you're drinking.
There's a reason why you know brewing takes time.
Yeah, to be honest, I haven't drunk that much in lockdown. Like I started. When the lockdown first started, I think I had a case of beer and like three bottles of wine.
Okay, fair. 3 weeks, you were thinking at the time, right?
Yeah. But that dried up quickly. So there was, at one point, I was like completely dry for like 2 or 3 weeks. And now it's like, I don't know, it's just...
Whatever.
It's kind of like whatever. It's like you're not going out, you know, not sending it as hard.
Because that's the other thing, right? So we started... It took me about 3 weeks to figure out how to broadcast to do vinyl online so that it doesn't sound like a complete shit show.
It was quite tough.
Yeah. it's going from analog to digital, which is completely counterintuitive. But anyway, so yeah. We figured this out. And to celebrate, we drank a three-quarter bottle of Glenmorangie all by itself, right? Mm. And then I discovered that being drunk in lockdown is actually quite fucking weird. It's just not the same. There's nobody to, like, you know.
Bounce off.
Dude, and then the hangover was like 3 days of horror. Horror.
Locked indoors.
Yeah, so I'm not doing that again.
Okay. No,
I'm not doing that again.
Well, you chose a good whiskey. You do enjoy a bit of Glenmorangie.
Not bad.
Sponsor.
Yeah.
Insert right here.
Yes, please.
Just send us whiskey. We don't need a pass.
So, okay, cool. So other than that, what else are you working on?
So Ollie and the Captain, so we run a travel blog as well.
I'll share links.
It's ollieandthecaptain.com. And yeah, we write about basically digital nomad and surfing related activities and about our travels out and about. And I mean, so our traffic, we were speaking about this before this, our traffic dipped off massively by about 90% as the lockdown hit.
Yeah.
And then up and recovered about 33% till now. But we're still on the rise.
It's a good recovery.
Yeah, it's pretty decent. The interesting thing for me is, like, because we're like so deep in the SEO game and trying to like SEO web pages and stuff, that because human behavior has changed so much, I've been really interested in how that's going to affect like the Google algorithm. Because Google must be like, oh, okay, so people aren't going to these pages anymore.
Why?
Why? Okay, maybe we should start serving up different pages. So maybe it'll reshuffle the SEO game a bit.
But it makes perfect sense. I mean, it's just, you know, the whole world. And I think, I mean, it's unprecedented, right? Like the whole world at some point or another, we all overlapped on at least 3 weeks of complete and utter standstill. No air travel.
Yeah.
You know, not even rail travel. Not even, you know, it was just a complete and utter standstill.
Yeah. I think we're still locked down for rail travel. I haven't seen a train running in
South Africa.
For months.
Taxis are running.
Yeah.
They've been talking about trains, but nothing, nothing as yet, yeah. But it's also minimal air travel.
Yeah, that's true. So,
have you been to Joburg since you've...
No, I've been at home. I was at home in my house for the first, like, 80 days.
I know, right?
And then...
It feels like 180, yeah.
Yeah. And then... my mother's actually got a place out in Cork Bay. So we've managed to go out there for a weekend or two just for a change of scenery.
Is she in Joburg?
Yeah, she's still stuck up there.
Thanks, Mom.
We've been sending her pictures of the beach from her own place, just making her incredibly jealous.
Rub it in.
Yeah, yeah. But it's been a godsend. It's been so nice to have a bit of change of scenery.
No doubt. It's a nice part of the world.
Yeah, it's a beautiful part of the world. I love it.
Closer to get to the surf anyway.
Literally, we're like right there. So I'm going to stay there tonight and then literally before sunrise, get out there is first thing.
Nice.
So excited. Yeah.
Awesome, dude. I think that's that.
Okay, cool.
Yeah. Thank you so much. I really, really appreciate you coming in and doing this.
No stress. It's awesome to see this sick setup.
It's not bad, hey? Thank you so much to the crew in Berlin, pointview.fm. You guys rock. Yeah, and thanks so much. And hopefully we can do another follow-up soon.
Yeah, definitely.
I'd be really intrigued to see how your web app progresses over the coming months. Because Europe is not that I want to talk about COVID the whole time, but it's interesting to note that Europe kind of opened up. I know people, friends in Germany that went on holiday to Croatia, for example. But now the numbers are starting to spike again. So they're starting to dip back down. So I'd be interested to see how that affects the sort of digital nomad, I don't know if you want to call it a movement or lifestyle.
It is.
Because now it's no longer just, I want to go there for 3 months. Now the very real sort of idea is that you might be stuck there for much longer.
Yeah.
Yeah. Or it might cost you a whole lot more to get home.
Yeah, that's true.
Either which.
I think a lot of guys are hit the reset button during this stage, go back to their respective homes to kind of batten down the hatches until the end of this. So there should be a resurgence. I hope that people get back on the road soon and continue this lifestyle.
Yes.
But we'll see.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Thanks for tuning in.
Thanks, Lizzie.
Share, like, subscribe. And yeah, catch up for the next The Business of People episode. Thanks so much. Ciao. The Business of People with Lizelle Van Rijn.